What is your favorite food? I think I can honestly say mine is bread. Now I'm craving my warm sourdough bread with some butter and salt on top. It's honestly the perfect thing to eat. But I'm also realistic, and I know for many of you out there, the carb feel might be real. It is too bad that carb-heavy foods are often the ones we love the most. That's why Hero Bread makes those same delicious favorites free of consequences or compromises. They have remade carby empty calorie bread products into fluffy, delicious versions that include no net carbs, 0 grams of sugar, plus protein and fiber. And let me tell you, their products taste amazing. The other day, Dennis and Leah and I were making some grilled cheese sandwiches, and that would be a perfect place to swap in Hero Bread. I am very mindful when it comes to what my daughter eats, and I love that this bread helps you get enough fiber and adds more protein to your diet while cutting down on the sugar. Hero Bread is not only delicious and flavorful, there's something for every craving, including sliced bread loaves, buns, and tortillas. So don't give up on being a breadhead. Hero Bread is offering 10% off your order. Go to hero.co and use the code YOGAGIRL at checkout. That's YOGAGIRL at HERO.co. Welcome back to a brand new episode of the Yoga Girl podcast, Conversations from the Heart. I have my favorite guest on the show today. No offense to any of my other many amazing guests, but I have a special guest on the show. He's been on the show before. He's my favorite guest because of the many inappropriate jokes that always end up coming up on the show. And also, I'm married to him. He's the father of my child. He's my best friend. Dennis, welcome to the show.
Hey.
Like, I can't even think using one word without...
I'm always trying new catchphrases. None of them sticks.
What's a catchphrase you've had lately?
I don't know.
You've been really into inappropriate sex jokes lately. Let's not start on that note.
No, but that's been for the last 10 years.
Okay, that's also very true. Maybe you've just been on fire in terms of like you've had really good puns going lately. Welcome to the show, honey bun.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
You're so welcome. It's been a while since you were on.
Yeah. Like August, I feel.
You were on when I was canceled.
Yeah, twice.
Twice. I wasn't canceled twice, but you were on twice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I hosted. And then I never heard anything back. And then I felt like you guys never wanted me on the show anymore.
You hosted, you did a great job, and then no one reached out. You didn't like...
I thought my career was going to just fly, like just start there. I started making arrangements, but nothing happened.
Nothing. No agents called you? No.
Nothing.
Man.
Even the local ones.
Well, maybe that's because we were canceled. Don't you think? It's a different vibe now compared to last time you were on.
Yeah.
How you doing?
I'm doing good.
Good means?
Well.
Well means?
Excellent.
Excellent means?
Okay.
Okay, so we can start off on this note right away. So Dennis and I, we started a couples course.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're going to talk about that. We started a couples course. It's a couples course on intimacy and communication. I can't even say those words looking at your face right now. It's a serious course.
Yeah.
Yeah. But as I say it, looking at you, it makes it feel like I'm joking or something. But
Well, we're in week one from 9 weeks. So I guess
we just started.
We don't know much yet.
Yeah. And the only thing that like okay, let's start from the beginning. So I have done a lot of similar courses, never a couples course. We've never done a course together. Like I've done Path of Love and different kinds of variations of that kind of process. I teach these kinds of like healing groups and you were always a little bit on the outside of that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like taking on care of Leia and doing production and
organizing and
right.
Hearing only the facilitator's sides
right.
of all of these courses.
So for instance, if you're listening, you don't know what a path of love is. It's basically a deep, transformative, life-changing process. It's therapy and meditation and healing and something that totally changed my life. And I also assist Path of Love now. So you've actually been on the facilitator side of one of the most intense, I think,
courses that exist. Yeah, I've been there while you were assisting.
Right. So you've seen that side of like people entering groups, but from this other end.
Yeah.
But you've never taken a group.
Nope.
Why not?
I signed up for one. I don't know if people remember, but we had this huge bet that you were going to do a half Ironman and I was going to do a Path of Love because...
I don't remember that bet.
Because I feel for me to be there for a whole week and be open and do all of these things seems harder in my head than for you to do a half Ironman. But you bailed.
I bailed, yeah. And, I had good intentions. Like I,
you didn't even start.
I was on a bike. I was, yeah, that's it. I had good intentions, but it was, what was it like for you to do a healing group? You wanted to know that I'm also making an effort for something.
No, it was like
why did you want me to do that?
You really loved, you think it's good for me, number one, and you really love it. Like it's something you do, it's something you love, and it's something you wanted to share with me. For me to understand better as well what you go through. And I respect that and all that stuff. And I felt in that moment for me to be able to share what I love or what I do was Ironman. And not to make it too hard, we decided half Ironman.
Fuck you and that fucking half Ironman. Yeah, but I think I got to a point where like I was already burnt out. Like that was my year of burning out.
Yeah, you were fucked.
I was fucked. And I was like, okay, I so badly want Dennis to go to Path of Love. Not like for my sake, but like for our whole lives' sake. You know, yeah. I just want you to like feel really at home in yourself and like communicate and like stuff like that. Just so we can, yeah, just like you say, share these parts of our lives.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then you were like, well, you got to bike 90 kilometers, run half a marathon, swim 2K, like do this thing. And I was like, okay, yeah, I'm going to do that. And then I added it on top of my life and I almost like collapsed. You know? Yeah. So then I bailed, but you were still kind of committed.
No, I was committed. Mm-hmm. So I got accepted.
And that's cool.
I was very honest with, because you have to get an interview to get accepted. They don't just let anyone go in. You have to show that you're like, I guess, sane enough to go in.
No, I think it's more that you show your emotional commitment. Like you're there. Yeah,
you're willing to work. You're willing to open.
And also that's like some sort of emotional maturity also you have to have.
Stability.
Stability and maturity and that you're ready for that kind of
yeah.
process because it's very intense. Yeah.
So I started the interview and at the end of the interview, the therapist said like, well, when we started talking the first 2 minutes, I'm like, no way in hell you're going to go to this. But after we talked more and more and she was like, okay, you can go.
You can go. You're allowed. But did you make an inappropriate joke in the beginning? Is that
no, I just didn't know much about it. I was just really honest. I wasn't like trying to slum myself, I guess. Mm. And yeah, that didn't come off well in the beginning, but it did in the end, I guess. I don't know. But I was accepted for a June one. I was going to do one in Europe because we were supposed to go to Sweden for the summer.
Yeah.
In Wales, yeah.
2020.
And 2020 hit and Path of Love was just not meant to be.
That's the first thing he said. Like when shutdown started happening in March, April, like I remember you were like, I don't think this Path of Love is going to happen. It's a sign. The universe doesn't want me to go. Okay, good. Like now I know. Now I never have to try again.
All those sentences that I keep hearing you talk about the universe, all of them just popped in my head immediately.
And you threw them right back at me.
Yeah, but going back to the half Ironman, it's not the distance. Like the reason I wanted to share with you is because when I go through these races, it's when I process. It's when I open. It's like when I break down. I cry sometimes on the bike and then I don't know. I just process all my things. So yeah, I wanted like to share that with you.
It's your healing process.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I get that and I respect that. And I want to share that with you. It was just not a reasonable thing for me to undertake, you know. But then it's also part of it. And I think it worked out really well is you shouldn't start that kind of like intense therapy or like trauma healing or whatever it is you're going toward because your spouse wants you to. You know, it has to be something that like, oh, doesn't have to be a big trauma, but like I want to get to know myself better or, you know, I want to make sense of my life a little more or I want to grow in this area. And maybe then you didn't feel like that. It was more like, I think then we weren't communicating well. I was feeling horrible. We were so busy. We were super stressed.
It was not a good time.
I don't remember if we were fighting a lot or if it was just this over
all feeling that just it's not good.
Yeah. It was too many things happening and too many commitments, too many.
Yeah.
We were moving too fast. And we had a semi-newborn, like a one-year-old, I guess.
She was one and a half. Yeah. Yeah. But okay. So fast forward throughout all of this, what did happen is you started therapy.
Yeah. I started and stopped.
Started it, but you kept it up for a long time.
Yeah. I did it for almost a whole year.
Almost a whole year. Yeah. So you mentioned that yesterday, like when you mentioned to friends or to guys that you were in therapy, that sometimes you would get a different response, or how do people react when you
share? Yeah, guys don't usually talk about these kind of things. It's weird, and I don't know if I don't have a filter, or I don't know what I'm supposed to talk about or not talk about. But like, I would talk about like me doing therapy like it's just like me having a beer, and it never came off the wrong way or anything. But it was like, for some guys, like kind of a shock. It's like, oh really? Oh, you know, I kind of did therapy too back in the day.
They're whispering.
Like. Yeah. And it's weird how many things all of us go through without even knowing, but being alongside each other.
Right, right. Yeah. But you think that's a male versus female thing, or you think it's...
I wouldn't know.
Particular to like some groups of friends of yours, or all friends of yours, or how does that work?
I don't know. I feel like when I travel with my friends... Like the group of friends I travel with, it's when I'm like outside of my family and I'm just my own person.
Freedom.
We talk a lot more. Like a lot of times when you're with a friend for like an hour or two, you don't really get to go deeper. You go like, you get through like, oh, how's it going? How's your kid? How's your wife? And then time's up, you go home. But when you're like actually traveling with a friend and you get through all of that, but after the second, third day, you start to talk a lot more. And I like that, you know?
Isn't it part also of, because when you travel with friends, you travel for Ironman. It's not like you're traveling to, you know.
Well, I've been on surf trips that is not Ironman related.
Yeah, that's true. But lately the trips you're doing are mainly Ironman. Isn't it something about people going in to this kind of vulnerable, super challenging
thing? You know, I was asking them if they get that kind of emotion as well. And I don't think they do.
Really?
Yeah. I don't know if maybe it's just me not being well trained enough for an Ironman, because the reason why I break down is because I can't anymore, but I have to keep going. And I think my friends actually train a lot and they're really fit, and then they go through it.
You have a moon in Cancer, which is the most emotional moon, but
and that's why the Path of Love was canceled.
Shut up. Every time I mention astrology of any kind, this is what I get in response. So you have a moon in Cancer, which is the most emotional moon, but you have a sun in Aries, which is very fiery, determined, like fuck everything else, I can do it. So yeah. I think it's also your like perfect balance of, you have a super strong mind, you can do anything, but then eventually your heart really shines through and you just soften. When I look at an Ironman race, no one in the whole race looks like you when they do it.
Yeah.
You have a totally, I don't think anyone trains like you either. You have a totally different approach.
I have one friend that trains like me,
which means you barely train.
Like twice a week.
twice a week, super casual. But then there's something about like other people before the race starts, it's almost like they close in on themselves. They get a little more like...
They get in the zone.
They get in the zone. Yeah. And you're like having a beer with your feet up, like still like you're in a zone, but it looks differently, yeah. I think. And then when I look at you, when you're racing in that really hard time, you're still looking around, like you're still open. You still have your shoulders dropped, like you're smiling a lot, where everyone else kind of looks like they close into themselves, but you somehow open.
You usually see me on the run though, right?
But like the bike is like too fast.
Yeah, the bike is too fast.
And you're gone.
And that's where most of it happened for me, because you're literally alone in the middle of nowhere. There's no one looking at you. There is just you and your mind. And like hundreds of, like 180 kilometers.
That's hundreds. It's almost 200 kilometers. How many miles is that for someone?
113, 114
miles. Yeah. So basically it's like super working out super intensely for
you're just
12
to
15 hours.
You're on a bike sitting. After when you're around hour four or something, you're like, fuck. Yeah. And there's no one around you.
Do you ever go, fuck, why do I do this? Or do you go, fuck, what's going on inside of me?
Both. not really why do I do this. Like, I really enjoy it.
You don't regret it in the hardest time.
I don't regret it. I think the only time I kind of regretted it was last year in Cozumel when I had blisters below both of my feet.
You had blisters beneath your blisters.
Yeah, yeah, on the balls of my feet. So I couldn't run. I had to walk so much. And then it was like, oh, if I can't walk or run, like, I don't know if I can make it. And that was, I guess, the only time.
That was rough, yeah. It was rough watching you the last laps too.
Yeah.
But it is a, I don't know, I think back then, I was contemplating this now with us starting this course also, was back then when you started Ironman, I resented you so much. Like, for me, this was like the most selfish thing that could ever happen at the worst moment of our lives. We had like a 5-month-old or 4-month-old.
Yeah. It is very selfish.
It is very selfish. Yeah. But at that time, it was also me being like pushed to the limit, to the brink, you know. And then you embarked on this thing.
Yeah.
And now what I'm really, or what I have realized is that this is a really spiritual, emotional part of your process. Like, yeah, it's a very important.
Yeah, for sure. And not only that, but we have to be selfish. Like, you have to be selfish. Yeah, I have to be selfish. Sure. We just have to take turns.
We just have to take turns. Yeah. But that time was like the worst time, you know, because there was no space for me to be selfish for 5 minutes. And you were like, I'm going to train 20 hours a week. Bye.
I didn't though.
Those first months you trained more than you trained. That's funny. For the first race, you trained more.
No.
Second race, you trained more. The second one.
Yeah, the first one I wasn't. Trained. No, I wasn't.
The first ready. One, you didn't really know what it was. You were like,
I didn't know what it was, yeah. But I wasn't ready at all. We were a month in Sweden, and I didn't get a chance because I didn't know Sweden so well either, in the sense of like training. So maybe I ran one time 5 miles, 10 kilometers. You know.
No, you just did it.
I just went for it. Yeah. Yeah.
Like, who does that? But I can really remember like having a. Because she was 4 months old when she stopped sleeping, and already like I'd been, you know, pregnant for 9 months, 24-hour delivery, and then zero sleep, zero anything.
We were in Stockholm. You were working.
I never slowed down. Like, I was working.
No, you were working full
100%, you know, leading retreats, leading teacher trainings, like juggling a million projects. I had a book. I had, you know, unbelievable amount of things.
We were staying in a studio apartment.
We were in a studio apartment. 30 square meters, which is like, it's literally the size of this tiny guest room we're sitting in right now.
Yeah, a small hotel room, but you didn't have a door to close.
But, and I think part of it also was, it wasn't just the time and the challenging, like the unbelievable challenge of birthing and, you know, taking care of your first child. Like, the first months of being a mom is like, I look at it now and it's almost like traumatic. Yeah. Like, that's how hard it was. And then if she would fall asleep and she's like, oh my God, she's going to sleep for an hour. Then I had an hour to go work, right? Or an hour to like record a podcast, or an hour to go back to my retreat group and put on a smile and like hold everything together. And then you're like, yeah, I'm going to go biking for 6 hours. See ya. And I remember that, you know, that feeling of like, I almost started hating you. Like, it was like, I cannot believe that this is the road you're going down right now. Yeah. But now I can also see that you had to do that because you also had this total, or at least that was my experience, like a loss of all the normalcy. Like, there was a loss of you and me because all of a sudden we're not spooning in bed anymore. There was like a little...
There was resentment from both sides.
Yeah.
When you, for me, in my head during that time, I would still say it's like that difficult time. For me, in my head, it was like, you got to go to work.
Yeah.
That was like my thing. Like, you got to go and be with adults and be in an office while I'm just strolling this baby in the city up and down, just trying to get her to sleep 3 times a day. And then the first moment I got to be without a baby was that Sunday morning or that Saturday morning when I go on a bike.
Yeah. Yeah.
And we asked your mom to help as well on those weekends.
Right.
But you're like, fuck, man, finally we gotta get a chance together and you escape. But I'm like, I had to escape. Like, I've been locked with this.
No, but
like,
and it's totally true. And I created that for myself. It's like, I got to go to work, which was the only thing I knew. It's like, I got to go to work and I didn't know how to not work. I didn't know how to, there wasn't really an option for me to like go and take genuine good care of myself because I had never done that for real. Like, I had all my practices, all my resources, all the stuff, but there was an underlying current of just never slowing down, no matter what I did.
Yeah.
So just sitting with it now is like, okay, well, of course we had that super challenging time, but I did that also. You know, it's interesting now how it's like we've come full circle, I think, because It's 2020. Corona happened. Path of Love was canceled for you. I decided not to do the Ironman. Bummer. All that stuff happened. Bummer. And then suddenly, like, 2020 changed our lives. I feel like a different, like, I have a different life.
I think it's pretty safe to say that the whole world.
But I mean, we had a lot of positive changes also.
Yeah.
Not just because of 2020, but things that were already unfolding before and prior and things like that.
Mothers deserve the absolute best. So this Mother's Day, spoil the moms in your life with little luxuries from Osea. Osea's skin and body care is the perfect way to remind all the moms, mother figures, caregivers, grandmothers, and mother-in-laws in your life to make time for themselves. If you have been looking for the perfect gift, I recommend Osea's Andaria Algae Body Oil. I've been using it for years, and it seems like every single time I apply it, I get compliments on my skin. This body oil is rich, but it's never greasy, and it's clinically proven to instantly improve skin elasticity. Your skin will feel more sculpted and toned, and you'll be left feeling silky, soft, and glowing. Another favorite of mine is the Andaria Collagen Body Lotion. Ever since I've been using collagen, I have noticed a difference in my skin. In fact, it's never been better. Using Osea's body oil and lotion together is a mega moisture duo, giving you a full body glow. Osea's products are infused with our signature Andaria seaweed, but it's also clean, vegan, cruelty-free, and climate-neutral certified. Really just a perfect gift for yourself, the moms in your life, and even the planet. Spoil the moms in your life with clean, vegan skin and body care from Osea. Get 10% off your first order site-wide with the code YOGA at oseamalibu.com. You'll get free samples with every order and free shipping on orders over $60. Head to oseamalibu.com and use the code YOGA for 10% off.
Dennis has decided to go to Florida election week for an Ironman race.
Yeah.
And we're in the middle of a couples course on intimacy and communication.
Yeah.
While you're Ironmanning.
Well, the Ironman was planned before this.
I know, but isn't it kind of full circle? Like, here we are now. We're doing the things that we both really wanted to do, but it's unfolded in a very different way.
You think it's because the moon is in whatever sign it is right now? And
the moon is in Aries right now, but I don't know if that relates to all of this. There's a lot of stuff happening astrologically. Okay. But isn't it... I don't know. Like, how do you feel about being in this point of our lives?
Like, I'm so excited that I get to do one normal thing. I hope.
One normal thing, yeah.
Yeah, I hope it happens. It's not normal per se, but it's like, I don't know, my body's been craving this for so many months, and finally it gets to happen. And I'm a little freaked out with traveling and the corona season and all that stuff.
Season,
like Corona, it's season, like, 2020.
The Corona season,
season number one. Yeah, we're in a small group. We're gonna fly to Miami. In Miami, rent a car the next day, and then drive all the way up to Panama City Beach. I don't know if for people that don't know how far that is, that's like a 9 to 10 hour drive. We're doing this just so we don't go through three airports.
Because otherwise, you'd have to go. Otherwise, Aruba, Miami, Atlanta, something.
It's
else.
Like Aruba, Miami, Charlotte. And then you have to wait like 4 to 5 hours in each airport.
Mm-hmm. Let me just, before Dennis explains all the stuff about his travels mid-corona, I have been extremely unsupportive all along. Just so everyone is aware.
Are we talking now or?
Fuck you. For this trip. Like, I don't know when you booked it. It was like
I booked it a year ago, I think.
No, but I mean, but when it became like, I don't know, 2 months ago, you were like, hey, I think maybe this Ironman is going to happen.
Yeah.
And I was like, no way this Ironman is going to happen. There's zero possibility. So you had it booked and I was like feeling this is, I don't even care because it's going to be canceled. And then it wasn't canceled and then it wasn't canceled. And then Florida suddenly released all the like heavy bans and they totally eased up, you know, in contrast to the rest of the US. And then I think about like 3-4 weeks ago, you were like, it's really going to happen. And I'm like, oh, wait a minute. Like, what does this mean? So I am supportive now because I know how basically the stuff I do every single morning when I have 5 a.m. to 7 a.m. for all of my personal self-care, like that's all combined in this 8-day. How long are you gone?
I don't know. Normally I'm gone for a long weekend, but now because
it's like at least it's going to be 8 days there. Yeah. These 8 days for you with the community of the whole group going and you getting to do the thing that like sustains you. It's very, very, very important. So we found the middle ground where I can feel comfortable and you can go do the thing.
And then come back and stay in quarantine forever.
Hell yeah. But okay, so continue. So you're going to, instead of flying to all the airports,
so instead of flying, we're going to drive 10 hours. And
how much? Yeah.
There's no Whole Foods or anything near Panama City that I know of. So if someone listening that knows of a good health food store, please let me know. But along the way, I need to stop at a Whole Foods and just stock up.
It's not super vegan friendly.
It is, but I don't know. But
Panama City Beach, it's all the way like panhandle.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
It was the place that got destroyed 2 years ago due to a hurricane.
Do you guys have to get tested before you fly in to the U.S. or you just?
I think we get tested at the event, like a few days before the event.
And I think this
is something
that would never occur in my life. If I was taking this trip, I would like know exactly what.
No, there is a health screen, so I don't know what the health screen entails.
Mm-hmm. Okay, no, it must be a test.
So we go through a health screen
to be able to compete.
And that's what scares me the most, because maybe I have something that I don't know. We've taken tests before and we've been negative, but maybe you get it and you don't even know. I'm always like socially distant and like I am like that as a person in general.
you were born socially distant.
Yeah. So I'm not worried of contaminating or what are you saying?
You're not worried about giving other people corona. What are you not worried about?
Yeah, I'm not too worried about getting like other people with corona because I'm really good at staying like socially at a social distance. And that's why I want to go to one of these Whole Foods, because I just want to buy food for the whole week and I'm going to cook for myself. I'm not going to go out to dinner. I'm not going to do any of those social things. It's just purely for the race. In the race, I think it will be a little harder because it's a race. At the start, we have to wear masks. So we're going to be, I guess it's like waves, a small group, small group, small group. And then to get in the water, it's four at a time.
Four at a time to swim.
Yeah.
But so separated. If you're listening and you don't know what Ironman is, it's like 14, 15 hours of swimming, biking, and running.
Yeah.
And you start with a swim.
You start with a swim.
How many people in this race?
I don't know. Normally it's around 3,000, but I think this time
Florida.
I think this time it's maybe 1,000. And then they will separate the groups and the times that they swim. So you will get in the water four at a time, like separated. And right before you get into the water, you take your mask off. You give it to like one of those assistants. When you get out, and that's the only part, because when you get out of water, everybody like kind of spreads out already. So you're not really in close proximity with anyone else.
So just like if someone like has their mouth open in the water or spits and you're swimming behind them, you don't like...
You have to be... You have to be very unlucky, but then you have the ocean.
You're going to swim with 1,000 people. Like, are you kidding?
Yeah, but you're not in the, like, if anyone's seen the mass, like, start before, it's nothing like that at all.
To me, the mass starts look terrifying.
You're also in the water.
Not because of corona, they just look terrifying. 1,000 people running into the ocean.
It can be dangerous sometimes.
Super intense. People drown.
People have drowned, yeah. But anyway, you get out of the water, you get a mask. And there is no changing tents anymore. Before you used to go in a changing tent and you change together. Now you just go straight to your bike. Your bike are all separated from each other. And then you put on your biking shoes and whatever else you need. You go on your bike. And in the transition, you get a mask as well. And as you get out, you take the mask off. And for the biking and the running, basically you're
alone. You're not holding hands.
You're separated. Like it's an individual sport.
If there's a chance that the mask helps, then fucking wear the mask. Like, it's not that
but
big of
a deal. But I kind of like it, to be honest.
You mean it makes you feel safer?
It makes me feel safer, and it makes me feel also that I could see on someone's face when they're taking precautions.
Right.
Like
that's really... I wear the mask not because I feel like this is keeping me safe. I don't feel like that at all. I don't feel like I wear the mask so I'm not going to get corona, or I wear the mask so I'm not going to give someone corona. I wear a mask because I feel like... It shows I care.
Not only that,
I
want to
follow the rules.
If I go to a supermarket and I see someone else with a mask, I'm going to feel more comfortable than someone not wearing a mask, because I feel like that person is also taking the
precautions.
The precaution needed, and we're all in the same.
Yeah, but I'm more in that place of like, there's so many people, especially in the yoga world now, which I think is wild, but also makes sense, because of course, people who lead, really natural organic lifestyles are not going to be super excited about Lysol and hand sanitizer and all this sort of shit. Like, I get that. But I also don't feel this need to go and get my megaphone and yell to the whole world, like, hand sanitizer gives you cancer. Like, don't, the masks is a conspiracy. Like, come on. Like, just, I just feel it's not helpful right now. And at some point it's like, okay, we don't know if this is the thing that's going to prove in the end that like kept us all safe and people from dying. But if there is a chance that it's going to save someone's life, like, just fucking do it. Like, that doesn't have to be this, you don't have to love it. You know, I'm not like using hand sanitizer, showering in it, feeling amazing about that. But like, I'm going to do what I'm going to do, you know, knowing that this is not forever.
You have to weigh it out. If you don't wear a mask, everyone gets corona. What's the worst that can happen? It can be pretty fucking bad. If everybody does wear a mask and people get safe, and then in the end, no one was supposed to wear a mask, still the difference in the end.
But of course, there's a big piece about, you know, like autonomy and personal freedom. And like, there's a lot of things that weighs into this. And I get why people are super upset. I mean, the fact that Leia has to wear a mask for 1 hour and 45 minutes in school when they're inside, 1 hour, 45 minutes a day. I can't think about the minutes she spends with a mask because it makes my body like retract with just, I hate it so much.
And she doesn't care at all.
She doesn't give a shit at all. She's like totally fine with it. It's my problem, my issue, and I just had to wait. Like, okay, what's more important, that she goes to school and gets to socialize and be with kids and friends and have a normal day, or that she stays, that she doesn't have to wear the mask? And I debated that and decided for her well-being, the best thing is for her to be in school. And then I am the one who has to accept that for that 1 hour and 45 minutes a day, she wears a mask. If I'm going to resist it and fight it, like, I wouldn't make it through my day. It would just make my day much worse if I'm walking around thinking about that, and it shouldn't be that way. I just had to accept it, and I made the choice. I can also choose to keep her home. Yeah. I can choose to not go to the restaurants that require me to wear a mask. I can choose to order takeout every day and not go anywhere. Like, I can make that choice if I don't want to follow those regulations. But I'm not going to be the asshole who wanders around town in my hemp clothing, refusing hand sanitizer and refusing a mask because, I don't know, because of what, some conspiracy theory? I don't know. To me, that's just not who we are. I think you and I are like we're an okay middle ground.
You think so?
Yeah, I don't know. Like, I mean, I am more vocal and getting upset and, you know, talking about things that I feel are really wrong, but I also know when to shut the fuck up.
I don't know if that's true, the last part.
Don't you think that, like, you know, like, Leia is in school with her mask right now. It's 9:45. They just, literally, right now, they are going in to be inside for that hour.
And she's, yeah.
And she's fine.
She's fine. She's having fun with her friends. She's going to eat lunch with her friends. She's going to play. She's going to come home with all these cool stories about her school day.
Right. And it's okay.
Yeah. And we get to do that in this type of environment.
Right.
Like, there's places that schools are still shut down.
I know. So we are super grateful that it's open and that it's, you know. But it's a hard thing to be, I guess, especially maybe in the U.S. Of course, there's parts where this is all more sensitive and more terrible, where there is this feeling of this is going to be the new normal. This is going to be the thing where forever we are separated, forever we're not touching, forever there's a mask.
I don't think that's true.
No, but I think people think that that's true.
Yeah. But people, I think for the next 2 years,
that way, like, this is a government conspiracy to take all of our autonomy away. Meaning, if I surrender to having to wear a mask, I give up my freedom, and that's the beginning of the end. I don't think like that. Like, I really just don't. But I understand people who might think like that would have a much harder time accepting, like, okay, to go to this restaurant, you put on your mask.
We just need to figure it out. Maybe 2 or 3 years more, hopefully by then. Hopefully way before. But if we're going to compare it with like the flu in the 1918, it was 3 years, I think. 2.5 years, 3 years.
Yeah,
and there was a lot less people back then and a lot less traveling.
No, the whole thing is bizarre. But for instance, I also want to make it clear on this podcast, when you come back from fucking Florida, having been, like, you're taking the risk of, like, I'm going to go into a place where I know there's a lot of corona. Like, you make that choice. You've waited out. Like, this is important enough for me that I want to do that.
And I come back and I'm going to stay in an Airbnb.
And you're going to come back and get tested at the airport. 2 weeks? You think you're going to fucking quarantine for 2 weeks? I need help with this household, man.
Oh, man. I thought I really had to be serious about this.
You get tested at the airport. Your whole group does. because there's like 10 of you or 8 of you or whatever, everyone
has to... I think we're like 7, maybe 8.
You told me 8, yeah. But if all 8 of you, like you all test negative and then you have a couple days quarantining at an Airbnb, yeah, right, then it's fine. But it's not like, you know, I'm meeting you at the airport, like, you know, giving you a big kiss either. Because I'm at the place right now where I'm not worried about us getting corona. We don't have elderly people or immunocompromised people in our lives right now who, you know, like we have friends who have parents here who are older and who are really worried for their sake because they're spending time with
their parents. We're not really close with our friends either. We're not really touchy-touchy.
We're not hanging out with anybody right now. So, I mean, we normally like don't a lot. So that feels fine. If we would get corona, I wouldn't freak out. That's where I am. But I also don't want to give it to ourselves on fucking purpose by not giving a shit.
You don't want to have a corona party?
I don't want to have a corona party. I would have a chicken pox party. Like that. Like that's where I'm at. like I did when I was little. Like that was not a big deal. But a corona party? No. No, thank you. Did you know that women were excluded from clinical research policy by federal law until 1993? Women belong in scientific research. They are essential. But not only that, how can we trust any of the data when it comes to our bodies if nothing used to exist? Ritual took this gap and conducted a university-led human clinical trial for their Essential for Women 18 Plus multivitamin to assess its efficacy. The results, it increased vitamin D levels by 43% and omega-3 DHA levels by 41% in just 12 weeks. That's some data we can trust. Ritual is a clinically backed multivitamin for women 18 plus with high quality and traceable key ingredients in clean, bioavailable forms. It is USP verified, meaning you can trust what you're putting in your body and know that it actually works. And only about 1% of supplement brands on the market have the USP verified mark. Not only does Ritual take your health seriously, they are also invested in the health of the planet. Ritual is a female-founded B Corp. They use scientific tools to select lower carbon packaging, prioritize sustainably sourced ingredients, and set ambitious climate goals. I have been through the ringer when it comes to vitamins, and that's why I love Ritual, because I can actually trust that it does what it's supposed to do, and it comes from a company that actually cares. No more shady business. Ritual's Essential for Women 18 Plus is a multivitamin you can actually trust. Get 25% off your first month at ritual.com/yogagirl. Start Ritual or add Essential for Women 18 Plus to your subscription today. That's ritual.com/yogagirl for 25% off. But so are you going to win Ironman?
I always win.
You always win.
Yeah. I just never make it to the podium.
You're always a winner.
They always give me a really shiny medal. It says participation.
What's the time you're aiming for? Do you feel ready? Have you you haven't really trained a lot, a bit.
If you want to go into the details, I'm sure you do. The biking, I'm really ready. The swimming, I'm never really ready. But I have surfing in my past and it's easy. The running, I'm probably the worst I've been in a long time.
The running, you're the worst you've been in a long time. Yeah. Okay. Well, I feel okay. Leia and I are going to have girls' time at home. We're going to miss you. And I really hope you don't get coronavirus. Can I tell you, like, honest truth? I am more concerned about you being there over the election than I am you being there in a corona wave. Yeah. Like, I don't know. I just feel like there's a lot of unrest. I mean, there is a lot of unrest. And I have this feeling like if Biden wins, there's going to be like a riot from all the Trump supporters. If Trump wins, there's going to be a riot because of everybody else. Like, I just have a feeling like this is not going to be the election where people just calmly sit down and accept the results, you know, especially if it's close or if there's a controversy, there's going to be a controversy.
Always.
Whoa.
I feel like it's like that always. Like, it's always like people are ride or die right before the election. And then as soon as the election's over, it's like, oh, fuck. Okay.
Yeah, but it's not.
And then someone.
2020, after 4 years of Trump, after having 200,000 plus people die from this pandemic, Black Lives Matter protests, like so many people out of a job. Like, there is unrest. People are not.
Isn't it like the thing that they do is like whenever one of the candidates lose, they come and make a speech like, okay, this happened, now we have to move forward.
Have to move forward. I mean, I don't know. Like, even Trump, as he won, like the election, wouldn't accept the results. like that the Electoral College like is what won him the election, like wouldn't accept it, you know. There was fraud, voter fraud, but he won. I don't know why he was fighting it. I just know, I don't know. Can you promise to like, not that it's going to be like a civil war or something. I just want you to get home safe.
Okay.
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 And win.
If it happens, I already won.
If it happens, you already won. Okay, let's get back to our couples intimacy course, because this, I think, is much more interesting than Iron Man. No offense.
Oh, nope, not taken.
Not taken.
Is it like an outer course, or is it more like an inner work course?
If I can't even explain to you guys how many intercourse jokes Dennis has made in the past week since we started.
Inner course.
It's a course where you do inner work.
Yeah.
Yeah. Are so every time I text him, like, are you ready for the course? And he goes, inter?
Inner.
Dot, 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 question mark?
It's always inner.
Inner course? Are you, what's happening in this course so far? Like,
I don't think we're allowed to talk about it.
We're allowed to talk about our experience. We don't talk about, like, other people's sharing their stories and stuff. It's good. So there's, like, 25 people in the group or something, 20-something people in the group. And you've been talking about your feelings.
Yeah.
Yeah. How's that going?
Good.
Okay. This is what we started the show with. So in this course, the only like little heads up I've given to Dennis is when you do this kind of work and then the facilitator might at some point ask you, so how does this make you feel? You know, which is like just an inquiry for you to go into the body and like go, yeah. And then if you say, yeah, good. Good is like a blanket statement that doesn't really explain anything, and it doesn't mean that you have to look inside and actually feel. So then she probably would go, and good means?
Well.
And then Dennis he's like, oh, I have 50 different variations of good I can bring you. And I'm like, dude, the point is to like take a breath and feel. When you say good, oh, it makes me feel relief, or oh, yeah, it makes me feel supported, or yeah, it makes me feel fun. Like it makes me feel like it's not that big a deal, or I feel more spacious inside, or something like that. And then this will go, well, great, fine, fantastic, wonderful. Like all things that don't mean anything. But it's
hardest part for me is the sharing. Mm-hmm. It's nice to be able to talk to other people that have so much in common as well, or that are going through the same things as you
and
are.
And nice means?
Great.
It's nice talking to people, okay, who resonate, who you're like, yeah.
Yeah, but then you have to do this for 10 minutes. And like, I felt like when I did this, I shared my whole life story. You know, 10 minutes is not a long time. It goes by really fast. So I'm sharing my whole life story. I tell every single detail of my whole life. And then I still have like 8.5 minutes to go and I have no clue what to say.
I don't understand like what you are saying in this.
Like in for me, it was like in-depth detail. So and then you do this a couple of times a day.
So the course has like, it's online and you have meditations and videos and exercises and stuff that you do. And then once a week, there's a big live session with the whole group. And once a week, you have a sharing in a smaller group.
Yeah.
And then every time you have a sharing, so there might be three people there. And then Dennis, you told me yesterday that like no one wants to be the first one to go. And after a while, you just jump and you go first. And I was like, what? You're the first one in the group to start your emotional sharing? That really surprises me. And he went, yeah, but that's because a whole minute already passed. So then I only have to do 7 minutes instead of eight.
Yeah, I take that minute. I'm like, fuck it. You guys don't want to go? That's my minute. Because there's like a countdown clock. For yesterday's session in particular, like when you're divided in groups, we were in a group of three and then everybody got 8 minutes or something. So you see the time on the top, it's 24.
Because you're three people. Yeah.
So like around 23 minutes or 22, you know.
Something. No something, one's talking.
No one's talking. I'm like, okay, I'll go. But
that minute's mine.
Yeah.
And then, but then how do you feel afterwards? I mean, sharing is always a, like being vulnerable, being honest, truthful to people who just hold space for you to speak, can be a really challenging thing.
It's hard. Like the therapy I took last year really helped because in the beginning of it, I couldn't talk at all. I wouldn't know what to say. And they had to like ask me questions every time for me to start talking. And I'm someone that I'm a guy of few words. So it's really hard for me to like start. Like, you can just talk, no problem. You have a podcast, you can do it every single day.
I have Mercury in Libra.
Yeah.
You have Mercury in Pisces.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sure.
Sure.
And that's why I can't say anything. And I have no air.
You have no air in your chart. Yeah,
that is also talking.
So we decided to do this course, and me and like true Rachel fashion decided to start three online courses at the same time. So I'm currently doing a Kundalini course, an advanced astrology course, and this course together. But the astrology course really works well with this like intimacy and communication course. Yeah. But Mercury is how you communicate. And I have Mercury in Libra, so I'm like, it's an air sign, and air is communication. So I'm super talkative and fair and, you know, really inclusive in how I speak and all of these kinds of things. And you and Leia both have Mercury in Pisces, and you also have no air in your chart. So you are like a non-communicative.
Does she have air?
Huh?
Does Leia have air?
Yeah, she has air. She has a good balance, actually, in her chart. Mostly water, but some air. But you have no air, so you're like not a talking kind of person.
Nope. So to to answer your question, it's kind of hard. It's a release of some sort, and it's kind of nice to like be able to talk to, like, I always thought these courses were like, I would be there, the normal guy, and then there would be a lot of like people like in space, like floating a little bit. And
what kind of person is that? Like, what's the kind of person you think does? Yeah, who's like a stereotypical
hippie?
Are you talking about like Wild Wild Country?
Yeah, I'm like, to start off, I was surprised that we didn't have to wear orange.
This is like, this course is like,
so anyone who wants to do a course with me,
renowned, amazing psychologists, you know, who work with this like 30 years, it's like fantastic. Okay, so you were surprised there were normal people in the course, basically.
Normal people.
That a lot of people are in the course and they're just like you.
Yeah.
Yeah, you were disappointed by that. You told me yesterday.
No, I was pleasantly surprised.
No, you told me yesterday. I was hoping the other people would.
No, I thought it was.
You thought.
Yeah. I was hoping that some of the other people have done more work before, so I was going to be the newbie.
Like, yeah, that's what I didn't understand. Why would you want to be the newbie? I thought you would be excited. Other people have also never done sharings before, for instance.
It gives you some level of comfort. I agree with that. But I feel to get the most out of this course is like if I was like super newbie and everyone was like super experienced, have done this. I thought people have done this type of work before. I thought people were like you, that this is like their sixth or seventh course, you know? And because there was a couple of times that I felt like I didn't know what to do. And then I asked the other like people I'm sharing with and they wouldn't know what to do either. So I'm
what
like,
is it that you didn't know what to do?
And I'm like, oh, are we doing it the wrong way? Are we doing it the right way? You know, it's, but I guess there's me, no wrong or
what's the thing you
right
didn't
way.
Know? Like, in terms of like how to.
No, I can remember. It was like, I had a couple of questions and no one, in several of different groups, like it was, everyone was kind of, yeah.
Yeah. But that's also, it's interesting. It's interesting to me, having led so many groups in person and now it's online, you know, how to mimic the intimacy and the closeness and to get the same level of opening. You know, it's a really totally different thing.
Yeah.
And it's much harder online, of course, because it's easier to check out. Like, it's easier to not be present.
You're in your comfort space.
Yeah. And all you have to do is like kind of, you know, look away and you don't even see the person anymore. It's because they're not right there in front of you. They're on a screen. But it's also really cool, I think, to have the ability to do it at home. And imagine if you were doing this right now, like sharing a bunk bed with someone in some communal hall, you know, because you're doing a group in person.
No, I think it's good and bad. Like, not bad, but like it has the pros and cons. Like, the pro now is like I can go into a course like this and still feel safe at home. And maybe the con from that is that I would not have opened as much as if I was in that commune home. Mm-hmm. But if I was in the commune home, I would have been like scared.
You would have been way out of your comfort zone.
Yeah.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found. That project manager I could never seem to hire? And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
So why are you doing the course?
You made me do it.
Shut up! Stop it! What is your intention with the course? Why are you doing
it? I wrote it down. I can't remember.
like we started week two, so you need to like have some connection to like why are you doing this course?
My main reason for doing this is to have a better connection with you. Like it's not like I heard your intention was like to work more on yourself and to go inside and stuff. Maybe I'll get to that place someday, but for me, it's like, okay, I want to be closer to you.
I want to be closer to you too. And you sharing your intention in that sense. There's a lot of couples in the course. So I think a lot of people are there for the couple, for the relationship. And that's also how I started. Like we communicate in different ways. Like that's basically why we want to do this course. Like my communication is more verbal, like
fiery.
And also how I connect and find intimacy is through communication. And you're a physical person. Like you want closeness in that way. And sometimes we miss each other because we approach things in different ways, you know. Where I'm like, you know, you just want to like lie on the couch and spoon and hug. And I'm like, dude, we didn't talk all day. Tell me how you're feeling.
Yeah.
And it's like we miss each other there. And you're like, what do you mean? This is how I'm telling you how I'm feeling. And I don't get that.
Yeah.
And I know for a lot of people or for a lot of couples it is similar in that way, just because we relate in different ways. And it's interesting to me to really understand you in those ways because we are different. But at the same time, when I actually started doing the work and I realized, yeah, this is, of course, it's not like I'm just here for you, you know, it's like just like they said in the course yesterday, that this is a personal individual journey, and then you take what you find and you bring it into the relationship, right?
Yeah.
So I want to explore my issues with intimacy, where I'm challenged around intimacy, where it's hard for me to be vulnerable. And a cool thing that I just realized was that because I teach this stuff, because I'm in this field as a teacher and I've been doing this for so many years and done so many groups, it conveniently puts me a little bit on the outside. Like I create the connections in the group, but I'm not in the group all the time. So I'm already learning a lot about myself, and I hope in the end we are closer because we've been together fucking 11 years.
Almost.
That's crazy.
April will be 11.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
That's a lot of time.
It's a good run.
Call it a day. Done. Okay, so to close, by the time this episode is out, you're going to be in Florida.
Yep.
It's election week. It's November. You know, we're getting close to the end of 2020. Do you have any wishes for the end of the year?
Oh, why do you always have to ask these kind of hard questions?
Like, we're closing this really long and challenging year. Was this a long and challenging year for you? Like,
it was a year of a lot of looking inwards, if that makes any sense.
Like inner
work. No, I don't know. It's depending how you rephrase how you ask the question. Locally, like it's been one of the hardest years we've ever gone through in Aruba. Our business in Aruba is for sure suffering. We're not, because of all these regulations, we can't even operate normally. And maybe it's not safe to be able to operate normally either, to be in a yoga shala with 50 people. That's just not allowed. So we're only allowed to have 14, I think. And we're just not breaking even. We're just going deeper and deeper in red in our Aruban business. So in that sense, you know, it's been a hard year. We don't know what to do. We don't know if we're going to lay off people. We don't know. You know, it's hard. All those people are going through things too. But if you talk to me on a personal level, I feel this year I developed a lot, learned a lot of new things about ourselves, how we react under very stressful situations, a lot of anxiety. There was times that we got anxieties. I think we try to get, people try to sue us like 3 times this year.
Yeah, I've never talked about that on the podcast.
No, but it's something that happens. It's like people are in such a space that they're just grasping for what they can grasp, you know?
We saw the results of a lot of people getting totally desperate.
Yeah, and you can always put yourself in those people's shoes and you can understand it, but it fucking sucks to be on the other end of it. So, you know, a lot of things happened, but at the same time, a lot of good came with it too.
I mean, we were for sure, like for months, in a vortex where I felt like, man, we need to like sage our lives. We need protection somehow. It was almost like we had somehow a channel open for just really horrible negative stuff. It was like one thing after the other. And the legal stuff I never brought to the podcast just because,
it's not to talk about.
Not just that, but it was like some things were super personal. Some things was just drama that was like, I can't even believe I'm not going to give this 1 ounce of my attention because it doesn't actually concern me. It's someone trying to steal from us or take advantage of us. And actually, the moment I didn't give it attention, it went away.
Yeah.
So I'm glad we didn't make that a huge thing. But we had a person like extort us this year. Like we had crazy fucking stuff come our way. So it's been at the same time you and I going through all of this intense stuff together, like having each other's backs. Like that feeling has been, because sometimes I feel like I'm kind of alone doing the things that I do, and then you're alone doing what you do, and then like we've been very, very, very together in all the stuff that's come our way.
Yeah.
So, and I feel now the fact that like you're going to Ironman in the middle of a challenging time, and I really feel like I'm glad you're going. I feel I'm happy that you're doing this for your self-care. Eventually, some sort of regular life has to resume. Like, you know, we have to try to find a way to exist in the world the way it is. And at the same time, we are taking this huge step together, like doing this out of your comfort zone, like course on intimacy. Like that for me is like a huge thing for you and me. And I'm really, really happy and really grateful that...
Well, it's hold on. It's week one, okay?
Let's talk. We started week two just now. Like the week two has begun. But basically just that I love you so much.
Oh, thank you.
Dude, fuck you. I love you and fuck you, okay? Do you want to close the show?
Oh, do I have to? Okay, yeah. Can you write it for me again?
So usually...
I can't remember...
Usually at the end of a show, I ask, how can we all be of service to you? Like that's something that I like to ask the guest. Like what's something all of our listeners, all of us listening right now can do for you. And sometimes the person has like a personal thing, like go to my website.
Oh yeah, you sometimes need to plug something, huh?
Sometimes they want to plug something. Sometimes it's like a guest who just asks you to take good care of yourself or go vote or, you know, like there'll be more of a collective like thing.
Yeah. Well, I can't tell people to go vote because voting already happened. Mm-hmm. And by then we already know who
won. But really, like, if everyone listening could do something for you, you know, or be of service somehow, like, what would they do? What would you ask?
I don't have a good yoga girl punchline there.
What about a Dennis from Salad punchline?
Stay classy, San Diego kind of thing.
Okay, that's it. Stay classy, everyone.
No, I don't know. Like, I wish I could tell people what they needed to hear or what we need to do for this world. But
What do you think is something that's going to make the world a better place or make people feel better this week?
This week?
Yeah. This week of just stuff happening the way it is, corona, election, unrest. Like, what's something people can do to feel better?
I have no good advice. Like, a Dennis advice would be, like, peace and love. Like, let's all try to get along. But then you will get the other, like, not another side. You will get a side like, no, fuck that. It's time to stand up and fight this fight. We're close, you know? And I agree with that. But at the same time, I'm like, why can't we just get along?
Well, what do you do to feel better?
What do I do to feel better?
When you're having a bad time or a bad day, like, what's something that helps you feel better?
I run. I bike.
Okay.
So tell everyone to go run and bike?
Yeah.
Go run and bike.
Or you could tell everyone to like...
Move your body.
Yay, there you go.
You're really trying to like fish it out, huh?
I'm trying to fish it out of you because you, this is why you don't have your own podcast. Like you have your nuggets of wisdom, but they need to be like pulled out. Move your body.
I'm like a hype man. I only know how to like go pop, 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 pop on the side. No. So for me, what I like to do anytime I'm feeling like shitty is like, I need to move my body. Like I'm not a person that talks, like you need to talk and like process and do it together. In that case, I'm very selfish. So I always need to like process on my own. So if I can give an advice, if you have the availability to do so, try to process on your own. If that means a long walk in nature, if you don't have nature, a long walk in the city, I don't know. Just try to like move, go out of your comfort zone and don't bring anything with you. Just bring your mind. That's it.
Don't bring anything with you. That's a good spiritual lesson for the ending of this. You don't need anything.
Patent pending.
Yeah, do you mean you want to like copyright that quote? Yeah. Patent pending. Okay. Yeah. Hey, thank you so much for coming on the show. I love you. Stay very safe in Florida, okay? Don't get corona.
And the only one I'll get was the one with the lime inside.
Yeah. Drink corona. Don't get corona. And have the best time.
Thank you.
I'll see you online in the course, in the sharing circles.
Okay. And so I'll see you like in what, 5-6 months again on the show?
Yeah, maybe. Thank you guys so much for listening and for bearing with us. I hope you have a good rest of the week. And the Yoga Girl podcast will be back next week. Thank you so much for listening to this week's episode, and a special thanks to my husband, Dennis, for joining the show. If you enjoyed this episode, be sure to listen and subscribe to other great episodes of the Yoga Girl podcast, Conversations from the Heart. You can find all of them on yogagirl.com, on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you normally get your shows. Don't forget to leave a review while you are there. Thanks to everyone at Cadence 13 for their production work, and of course, thanks to my sponsors. Please support them the way they support this podcast. I'll see you next week.